This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Because I am not in tune with the inner workings of the NFL's exhibition schedule, I can only assume that they will be meeting in the Hall of Fame game, played on arguably the worst field in maybe the history of organized football that isn't one in Washington or suburban D.C. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six podcast moderator. Did I get that right? Are the Bills and Raiders meeting in the Hall of Fame game?
I was like desperately hoping you wouldn't ask me who was playing the Hall of Fame.
I mean, it's a stupid game. We don't care, but... it's fine. We care more about the ceremonies than we do about the actual football game.
Yeah, I mean, especially because, you know, like, I think it's kind of an interesting trend. I mean, maybe, you know, like a July trend, maybe, but like, or like a July topic. But like, basically, a lot of these younger coaches, sort of the new breed of guys have really, you know, Sean McVay being the primary example, I think, but like have sort of gotten away from the idea that, you know, of doing any preseason. McVay doesn't play his guys at all in the preseason. And I think that there's probably, you know, there's probably something to that. And I think the NFL knows it as well, like knows that the preseason games are less and less relevant. Of course, you know, the Hall of Fame game, you know, revolves around the ceremonies.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got the pomp and circumstance and all that. But I mean, it's not worth rolling somebody out of that field to like have an injury happen that early in the preseason.
By the way, it's the Raiders and the Jaguars, so I'm not entirely sure why the Bills are starting training camp. But who cares? I don't really care. Training camps are here, so we can stop. Maybe list season will be over. But let me just ask you some broad things to kind of whet our NFL appetite. If you had to give me two teams right now that you are most confident that will be in the Super Bowl, they are who?
I would say, yeah, I mean, I think, so it's a good question.
Thank you.
It's a difficult question.
Oh,
because confidence in a team making the Super Bowl, you gotta be pretty confident. You know, so much luck is involved in the playoffs.
Sure.
I think I would immediately, and like the strategic answer to the question, to me, is you go to the NFC, because the AFC is, especially the AFC West, like people love the AFC West, mm-hmm. but it's so loaded. It's going to be so hard for, you know, even like the Chiefs, you know, like they've been like the floor for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes literally has been the AFC Championship game.
Right.
That is their worst case scenario so far when operating together. But I think, you know, the AFC West is so tough that I wouldn't want to go with one of those teams. So I would probably, and they're just in it, so it's kind of dumb, but I would say the Rams. And my second pick, you know, would, I mean, I know they can't meet, obviously, but the Packers, I think you have to be kind of confident that they will be in the mix to make the Super Bowl. And then if I'm going AFC team, the Bills are, man, they look really good. I mean, the Von Miller edition, that was like their one big weakness. You know, 13 seconds, like part of that problem was you can't get to Patrick Mahomes, and now you can. Von Miller, you know, even Aaron Donald said that Von Miller taught him so much in that Super Bowl run about being a leader, and now Von Miller is going to get to mentor all these young pass rushers, Boogie Basham, Greg Rousseau, you know, Ed Oliver is, you know, on the interior. Like, he's going to make that team so much better, and they just have – their roster is just so well constructed. I mean, credit to Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott for the job. You know, two Carolina guys that Panthers fans probably wish had stuck around, because they've done a fantastic job building that roster.
Yeah, I think the answer is Buffalo in the AFC. I really do. And, I mean, good for them. They have built it the right way. They hit the quarterback 100% spot on. Josh Allen is
– You know what's funny, Adam, mm-hmm. that people don't talk about enough, I think, and it didn't matter, but it's like the year before they drafted Josh Allen, the Bills actually traded their first round pick to the Chiefs, who took Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Well, what's funny is that Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson were mid first round picks.
After John Ross and Christian McCaffrey and
Yeah.
I'm trying to, and I mean, mid first round picks. Mitchell Trubisky went
went number two. So it's nobody knows. We just don't know. I'm not even knocking it, but I don't think that I'm not sure that will happen again. I'm not sure we will see years unless it happened this year. But I don't think we've got
spoiler. It did not.
Yeah, I don't think we've got the quarterback talent in this draft that we were looking at. The physical specimens of those guys, of Mahomes and Deshaun Watson that year, not Mitchell Trubisky, was really off the charts. Is it fair to be concerned that the Chiefs don't really have a replacement for Tyreek Hill, who was so dynamic? And like, I know Mecole Hardman might be, you know, a poor man's Tyreek Hill, but they don't really have a replacement for him.
No, there's not a replacement for Tyreek Hill, and he's just a unicorn in terms of, like, physical human being, like size. You know, I mean, he's not big, obviously, but like just the size and the speed and just his abilities, breakaway speed down the field. I mean, it's, you just can't replace him. I think that what they're trying to do, I'm gonna hammer this phrase home. It's gonna be my phrase this training camp season. They're trying to Frankenstein their way to Tyreek Hill with Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Mecole Hardman. You know, like Juju is the guy in the slot where if he doesn't have to be the number one, he can really do damage underneath. MVS, shout out hashtag Pac Pro, right?
Yes.
He's a guy that can do, he does his damage down the field. He's a vertical guy. And then Mecole Hardman does a lot of the stuff that you would, that Andy Reid liked Tyreek Hill to do, you know, whether it's the jet sweeps, the quick twitch sort of screen game that he used Tyreek Hill in a lot. And, you know, I mean, people are down on Mecole Hardman, and I get it because he's been overdrafted in fantasy for a few years, sure. But Andy Reid still took this guy with a high pick, and he is still very young and he's still early on in his career. Like, I think his upside is a lot higher than people think. So they are trying to Frankenstein their way to a Tyreek Hill replacement, and the only reason that anyone should think it might work is because Andy Reid's involved.
Right. And that's fine. It's fair to give Reid the benefit of the doubt, just like for years we gave and still do give Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors: red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can be willing to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. And Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Who is the team? Now, you've already talked about the AFC West, and Will Brinson every Monday joins us, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com and Pick Six podcast moderator. You already talked about the AFC West. It is a great division. There's no doubt about it. I don't know. It can all four. Yeah, all four teams can make the playoffs, right? Theoretically.
Yeah, I mean,
we have
seven
teams will make the playoffs in each conference. Theoretically, all four teams. It's unlikely. Can you pick that division 1-4 right now?
I mean, I can. I probably won't be right at the end of the year. I'm still taking the Chiefs to win the division. I actually think it's a really good value bet. I mean, they're like plus 160, I think. Mm-hmm. The last time I looked, I would have to double check. But if you're getting me plus 150 or better with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Plus money with them, yeah.
Yeah. And like the obstacles in their way are a Raiders team with a new head coach. I like the Raiders. I think Derek Carr's going to have a great year with Josh McDaniels. I think it was a great, you know, great hire. Great trade for Devontae Adams, great signing of Chandler Jones. I get it, but I'm not, you know, like, you know, I'm still going to take the Chiefs over them. You have the Broncos with We think Russell Wilson's still good. Probably, right? He couldn't be bad.
Yeah, he's still good. I have no problem with saying Russell Wilson. Yeah,
and they have a new head coach, too. And
they
then
do.
The Chargers. And people are like, well, I mean, yeah, the Chargers are just going to be great. It's like, yeah, okay, yeah. Look, I've been following the Chargers for a while, and Raleigh people know the Chargers well. When the Chargers don't charger it up, let me know. So, like, I'm taking the Chiefs at plus 160. I'll take the Chargers in second, Broncos in third, and Raiders in fourth.
Raiders in fourth. I actually look. You're the expert here, and I'm not trying to be facetious at all. I like the Chiefs. I like the Raiders too. I like the Chargers. Wow. I like the Chargers three and the Broncos four.
I like that you have to add you're not being facetious when you call me an expert.
I don't want people to think that I am like blowing smoke. Because I hold your opinion like in high regard.
Medium regard, yeah.
No, high regard. High regard, Will Brinson. All right, to the Panthers. Is it out of the realm of possibility that they finish second in the division?
Not at all. And I can't believe I'm doing this, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised. The Baker Mayfield trade, I mean, we talked about this last week or whenever the deal went down, and like it's, you know, in a vacuum, it's not a bad deal. The quarterback, the way they've assembled the quarterback room, however, you know, leads to lots of questions about the process for the Panthers. But if you start to really look at their roster, if you get good Baker, like above average Baker, doesn't have to be great Baker, just above average Baker, and the offensive line is as I think it's pretty improved. Like, it's clearly improved on paper. I think it is legitimately improved. Well, you know, with Icky, we presume it, you know, will be the left tackle for the foreseeable future. And then Bozeman they brought in as well. I think it's one of the more underrated signings of this offseason. If that offensive line is healthy and can get to around average, like, I think the Panthers can be a 7-9 win team if everything breaks right and Matt Rhule figures out how to coach in game.
Right. You know, I've had this discussion a lot, and personally, I am not going to be swayed by wins and losses as to whether or not I think Matt Rhule has grown and become a competent NFL head coach. And they could go 10-7 and I could still look at them and go, yeah, he's no good. And they could be 7-10 and I can say, you know what? He's done a pretty good job and worth bringing back for another year. You know, there's a lot of things he needs to do better. They need to game plan better. If there had to be like three or four occasions last year where we got after the game and Matt Rhule would say, you know, we don't do this very well. Well, why'd you do it 44 times? had to happen like three times last year. Wasting timeouts. They're as good at that as any team in the league, meaning they're bad at it. So they have to get through a lot of these things, but I mean, they need health and they need to dominate with Christian McCaffrey because I think it sets up the rest of their offense.
He's got to play the whole season for them to finish second or be a playoff contending team. And I mean, it shouldn't matter. Like, a running back shouldn't matter that much, but I think Christian McCaffrey is that good. It might matter that much for the Panthers.
All right. When we come back, we'll take a quick break here. When we come back, I know this is not your top 10 quarterback list, but I need you to tell me who's missing from ESPN's top 10 quarterback list. And I want to know your best value bet in terms of winning a division going into next season. All good?
Does that work for me?
All right. Will Brinson next.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now with Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick 6 podcast moderator. Did we have a summer?
Do you mean that in like has summer happened? Or do you mean like, did we have a summer?
No. Like training camp's here.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And the annoying thing too is that like, you know, part of our summer was involving like a very hot, like a scorching hot stretch in June. Like, it was like 105 degrees in June at one point, which is just, it's just too hot. Like, it's too
hot.
Yeah,
it is too hot.
It was a short and compressed summer. And now we're here in training camps here, and you're making me feel sad and depressed. That
yeah, I apologize.
Majors and I've got to start working again.
I apologize. Yeah, we're out of golf. I'm dreading talking about the Open Championship. I'm going to do it later.
I was hoping we'd do it now, but whatever.
No, I can't. I'm not emotionally ready to discuss it.
Were you hurt? Were you hurt? Did Roy hurt you?
I think he did. I feel.
My quick take on that is just that Rory went out trying to shoot I'm not saying 70 was his target score, but no. I think he felt like Victor was going to shoot even par or worse. And that if he shot a 70, someone was going to have to go absolutely nuclear to beat him. And Cam Smith did that. And so yeah. I don't think Rory blew it. I think Cam won.
I think you're right to an extent. I think he tried to shoot a 68. He thought.
Yeah, his 70 was probably not his target number, but he probably felt like 70 could win it. 68 definitely wins it.
Say that somebody was always going to get to 20. Should have been Rory. I can't. Don't drag me down here.
Sorry.
Don't drag me down here. All right,
What I do.
give me your best bet on the board. Best value bet on the board to win a division.
I mean, I probably think it's the Chiefs, right?
At plus 150 or 160, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a tough division, but at the same time, you're talking about like Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and I mean that is like, I mean, it's just if you're giving me plus money for those guys, I mean, I just want to jump on that. I think the Colts are at minus 115 are pretty good. Oh, actually, I know who it is. It's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes, that's plus, where I was going.
Plus 185.
I think they're going to win that division.
I mean, it's been 2-1 pretty much all off season, and anything above plus 150 is probably good. Like so my producer Debo, who produces my podcast, Eric DeBerdanis, I probably mispronounced his last name, but he doesn't listen. Who cares?
That's right.
he's a huge Eagles fan, and so like typically speaking, I like to be my contrarian nature. I like to poke fun at Philly, just to mess with him. I love the Eagles. I've adopted the Eagles as like my new team for 2022 because they went out and drafted Jordan Davis out of Georgia, who I just love. Mm-hmm. He's not going to have to play heavy rotational snaps for him. He's going to be working with Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave. Like that interior defensive line is a problem.
Yep.
And then you have Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham on the edge. I mean, like, that defensive line reminds me of 2017. They have Hassan Reddick, who's, kind of breakout season with Carolina and maybe is sort of starting to, come into his own as a player. And then A.J. Brown they trade for and give the extension to. So you have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert. I think if you look at Dallas Goedert's numbers, after Zach Ertz was traded, if you, extrapolate his, pre-post-Ertz splits or post-Ertz splits out for a full season, it's like 1,100 yards. Like, if Jalen Hurts takes any kind of step forward, this offense is going to be a problem. And like, I think Dallas, the Cowboys got just demonstrably worse this offseason. I think Philly should be favored to win the division, honestly.
Yeah, I do too. I think Philadelphia is going to win that division. All right, now to look, it's list season. I get it. I'm not even knocking it. And I'm not even sure that this wasn't done by design. But ESPN put out a list of the top 10 players at each position. Very quickly, at the very top of their top 10 quarterbacks, they have Aaron Rodgers 1, Patrick Mahomes 2, Josh Allen 3, Tom Brady 4. You have any problem with the top 4?
Not particularly, no.
You wouldn't put Mahomes over Rodgers?
Oh, in terms of the – I mean, everybody's taking Patrick Mahomes over Aaron Rodgers if you're doing a draft today. But at the same time, I do think when you make these lists, to me, like, you do have to show a little bit of it's just dumb how. But see, like, Aaron Rodgers won back-to-back MVPs.
Uh-huh.
Like, you just have to sort of give him a little tip of the cap for that. And
right.
I think the better way to do it is tiers versus an actual like debating the 1 through 4 to me is. you know, I mean, you can sort of, I don't know, like to me, it's just like, give me the elite group. And that's like, that's a tier. And I don't really, like, I don't particularly care how you order those guys specifically, but yeah, I would take Mahomes over Rodgers, but I'm fine with Rodgers above Mahomes because of the two MVPs.
Right. Two MVPs. And if I was offering you get one of those guys for this year, you would take Rodgers over Mahomes?
No.
Neither would I. And I have been an Aaron Rodgers apologist. There's no way I would take anybody. I actually would take Josh Allen also over Aaron Rodgers for this year. But that's neither here nor there. The after Brady, Joe Burrow, Matthew Stafford, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Dak Prescott. Who's missing from the top 10? It could be a valid answer to say nobody.
Did you say Lamar Jackson?
No, I did not say Lamar Jackson.
What the hell?
And I'm baffled by this.
That's ridiculous. Nobody, dude, Deshaun Watson hadn't played football in like a year.
Right.
Like, Lamar Jackson has won the MVP.
And Dak Prescott has played football in a year, and we watched it.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson has to be on that. That is a crime against football, institutional football knowledge to not have Lamar Jackson.
He's in the top five. I don't even get.
Probably.
Like, he carried the Ravens. I know we have to go here. He carried the Ravens as far as his body until it broke down by himself.
Ravens a good division bet, too. They are going to bounce back in a big way.
And he's going to play well because he is going to the bank. Will Brinson, you're the best. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
See you, buddy.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.